Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. So no big surprise, I talk a lot. And now I can share some of the incredible people that cross my path and the interesting conversations that we have. The Private Practice Secrets podcast is all about sharing our business experiences and harnessing our collective wisdom. My guests are amazing. They're bold, brave, and they're honest. There are many laughs, and surprisingly, there's frequent talk of wine. We're sure you're really going to enjoy these unplugged private practice chats. So settle in. Let's get the conversation started. Welcome aboard, Serena Jones. Serena has just described herself as a business baby, but I would very much dispute that. But she is the founding director of Allied Health Support Services, a new business that is 17, 16 months old?
Not even.
It's on the way. So I'm going to invite you, Serena, to perhaps introduce yourself, because I know you're an OT, but you're so much more.
Well, thank you. Well, my name is Serena Jones. I'm an occupational therapist on the Sunshine Coast. I certainly still work clinically, and I specialise in neurology and in adults in rehab, and I love it. But recently I had 3 years maternity leave, and I don't know why I didn't come up with this and start whilst I was on leave, but I founded this business called Allied Health Support Services upon returning, which is crazy. It's an online community and it's accessible for all allied health professionals. It's for all of us to share resources and experiences and stay current with research and events and opportunities.
Fair to say you've got a fair bit going on a daily, weekly basis. So remind me, you're working part-time as an OT.
Yep.
And you're a mum.
Yes.
And you're now a business owner. And there's a little bit of personal stylist going on in there as well.
Yes, that's true. I think life is too short not to give things a crack and do things that you're passionate about.
Yeah. Agree.
I don't mind a challenge either.
Yeah. What was running through your mind when you were returning to work from your maternity leave? What were the triggers that got you thinking about what is now Allied Health Support Services?
Yeah, a lot of people ask me this. I guess whilst I was on leave, it started then, and I really found I was quite shocked at the lack of accessible support and resources for allied health professionals when you're not in the workplace. And given, you know, so many of us female and so many of us have maternity leave or large periods of leave, it's really difficult to stay on top of everything and to stay confident and clinically and non-clinically capable. And when I went back to work, I was really scared and, you know, quite commonly I'd lost a lot of my confidence and I'd lost a lot of my clinical skills. So it's just finding your mojo, I guess, and making sure that you don't necessarily have the recency of practice, but that you've retrained and you refresh in the areas that you need to. I think it's really common for women to go on maternity leave when they've been focusing on their career for so long and they're quite often in really senior roles. And I think the tricky thing is when we go back to work, you're often returning to a senior role or a supervisory role or a clinical expertise role, and you have neither the experience nor the confidence, the recent experience, and there's an expectation that you won't actually require a lot of support, and yet you really desperately need it, like more so than junior staff that are living and breathing it all the time. You've got one foot in home life and one foot in work life, and it's a struggle. And I think you kind of feel, or I certainly felt like I couldn't really ask for a lot of the clinical support, and it's really, you're really out there on your own. And I certainly felt that when I returned.
That was your biggest motivator?
I think so, yeah. Yep. And I'm also, I think when you have children, you, like many parents, you feel the need for a professional change. I think that we change so much as humans when we have children that it's why you look for professional changes at that point as well. So you've probably got a lot of friends and colleagues that have changed into non-clinical settings or roles, or even a real clinical shift. So I've got quite a few friends that have worked within adults for years and years and years, and they've gone, they've had kids, and they've come back and they've snap changed into a pediatrics role. So I think a lot of that real change needs to be recognised, and it's so common.
Yeah. The other change that you haven't mentioned, and the statistics are mind-blowing, and of course I don't have them come to mind now as I need them, is the women particularly the mums that don't go back to clinical practice.
That's right. And particularly a lot of, you know, project roles are emerging, a lot of research-based roles are emerging, and you know, a lot of those roles are in solo areas, and you need to be working very autonomously. So I think there's a significant lack of support and resources for allied health professionals across the board, really.
Yeah. One of the drivers for new parents returning to work is for some adult conversation. And some of the positions that returning parents take don't satisfy that, whether it is project-based, remote work, part-time work, what have you. So they're very motivated for getting dressed and frosting something and finding some shoes and getting out the door and remembering to drop the child at childcare. I've arrived at work with my child still in the back.
I haven't done that yet, thank God, but I have physically turned around and checked, I must admit.
The very motivators of what they want to achieve out of their day sometimes aren't met.
And they change so much after you have kids. I think your perspective on life changes so much, understandably.
So in doing your research for the business, what else did you hear from allied health professionals across the country?
In terms of what they needed or what they were lacking? Yeah, I guess one of the main things that keeps coming up is accessibility. So obviously we have such a large country and not everybody, particularly, you know, parents, can't access a lot of the PD events that might be occurring in major cities. Certainly very costly. They may be awake for several hours in the middle of the night and not necessarily have a 3-day block of time that they can go and attend something. So a lot of the accessibility is really important, and I think that's where allied health support services hits a lot of targets. It's also about accessing a large range of resources, and I think my business is quite unique in that it's not siloed into particular professions. I think, stupidly, allied health professionals tend to do that. We do a lot of talking about working in multidisciplinary teams, and we tend to work that way clinically. But in terms of supporting each other, supervising each other, sharing resources and PD and templates and all that good stuff, we tend to silo a lot more. So my business is about breaking down a lot of those barriers.
Yeah, and making it available day and night and in bite-sized kind of bits.
Yeah, that's right.
If I kind of, I was looking at your gorgeous website again in prepping for this. What's in the box if we pull the lid off? What's in the box?
What box are you pulling the lid off,
Kathy? The box of your services. So to explain the nervous laughter coming from from Queensland is Serena's just moved house, and just before we hit record, we were talking about boxes and what's in them and whether you need them. So the expression is, what's in the box? What's in your services? What do people get?
All right. So Allied Health Support Service is a subscription-based service. We also have a free newsletter and, of course, a blog like everybody. One of our blogs actually is including an allied health link roundup. So we do that monthly, which is a lovely little spot for all of your useful links and resources and research that's coming out and bloggers to follow and all that kind of thing, all in one little spot, so you don't have to go chasing it down. But if you subscribe to our service, I've broken it down into 8 different sections. And at the moment, as I said, we're a business baby. So we're putting together these different elements of the service as fast as we can. But the primary one is the professional development library. So there is text-based resources, there is audio-based resources, there's video-based, and there's combinations thereof. So there's a library that you can easily click on and access it whenever and however you need. So the beautiful thing about that is that it automatically, if you select the little tick box at the end, it automatically joins and notes down within your profile. So we keep track of all your PD. So I don't know if you've ever been audited, Kathy, but it's...
I have. I've been audited twice.
Dodgy, honestly.
So dodgy. And it was a long, long, long time ago. And do you know what? Having said that, I bet I get the letter. I know several people that have been audited in the last few months.
Yeah, I do too.
Nightmare.
And that's the thing. I guess going back to some of that feedback that I've had is that there's so much fear and unknown, particularly when you're on leave or you're changing roles or settings or what have you, and keeping track, you know, we're such organised humans, allied health professionals, but honestly, generally speaking, we're really rubbish at keeping track of what we're doing personally from a PD perspective, support and supervision perspective. So that's a really lovely element within the service. But we're also setting up, at the moment, we're setting up some different kinds of support platforms. So we have chat forums available at the moment, and we've got one-on-one messaging available as well. We're looking to set up some mechanisms around one-on-one supervision and group supervision type services, which will be great.
Nice. Yeah. And you can play a bit of big brother or big sister. You can actually see what people aren't doing.
Well, I mean, I guess in terms of seeing what people need and what they're looking for and what kind of particular information they're craving, that would certainly be really useful, yeah. I have... we've got lots of resources. We've got a resources tab, which is one of my favourites. We have all the RSS feeds for relevant journals, which is so fab. I don't know if you've signed up to any RSS feeders, Kathy, but they're so great because they save you so much time. All the table of contents come up for each journal each month, and so you can keep track and just have a quick check to see if you're interested in anything without actually going and if you're not
for it. It's the hunting that you get so distracted.
That's right. It's just, look, it's all coming down to time saving, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we have lots of printable templates, and we've got some clinical toolkits coming as well, refresher kits. We have some, what else do we have? We've got a fantastic interactive events calendar. So for all public, private events, smaller gatherings like your special interest groups or your even social events, we can certainly post on this interactive event calendar. And if you are interested or if you attend any of those events, that will automatically be recorded in your profile as well.
What a time saver. So it's getting all your stuff, all your ducks lined up.
Get them in a row.
Yep.
Yeah. We've got lots of guidance information. The aim of the game for me was to, again, save time, put a whole stack of support resources for allied health professionals, no matter where they're working, in one place.
Yeah. Make it easy.
Yeah.
So you've been in business a year and a bit. What have you learnt about the business side of things?
Oh, what haven't I learnt? I've learnt just how much I didn't know about business and how it works. I am so, so fortunate to have a business coach, and I know you know the value of business coaching. My business coach is one of my best mates, so I've been super, super lucky there.
There would be wine involved.
Sorry?
There would be wine involved.
There frequently is. I think, you know, sometimes wine plays a very important role in business strategy. What have I learned? I guess I've learned that I am one determined woman. I've learned that I can start things and I can change the landscape, and I need support and help from relevant people. But yeah, I've learned a huge amount about websites and technology out there in automation, and yeah, it's such a steep learning curve and I really enjoyed it.
What have you learned about making videos?
I have recently been on a video marketing course, which was so horrifying and and scary and amazing all at once. I do recommend it. Again, I don't have the stats on me, but the stats are crazy in favour of video marketing, as you know. So I have learnt that I don't generally do very well off the cuff. That auto-cue is a godsend. And if you can get onto some kind of professional video marketing support where you can utilise auto-cue, it's amazing.
Yeah, Chris McCarroll is in this season, and yeah, he's also talking about the video marketing. And fair to say, listeners, that I did my video marketing sort of in my jeans on the couch, off the top, off the cuff totally. But Serena, the ultimate stylish professional, had the most gorgeous plain background and completely manicured and presented, organised presentation. And it was like chalk and cheese. And
stop it. Literally just one that I just did on the couch, this very couch.
This very couch. But we were on the phone, I think, within sort of in that time frame, shrieking with laughter at our first attempts.
The things that come out of your mouth, honestly.
So, yeah, well done with the videos. They're looking great.
Thank you.
And well, yeah, I like to think the more I do, the better I'll get, but I can't be sure of that.
Well, you probably don't need auto-cue, but I certainly found it very useful. I've got 3 professional, in inverted commas, videos coming out shortly, so it'll be interesting to see what the reaction to that is. My friends thought it was obviously hilarious.
Just get new friends. Get new friends. So business is ticking along and you've learned lots about wine and business and technology. What are you most proud of the last 18 months?
Yeah, I'm proud of all of it, to be honest. Just getting it off the ground with all of the crazy in my life, all the working mums out there here where I'm coming from. I guess I'm proud of my determination and you know, the steep learning curve that I was talking about before. All of the website side of it was completely foreign. I designed the website myself. I had a very clear vision of what I wanted it to look like and how I wanted it to work. And I guess if I ever come unstuck, I always remind myself that I am my audience. So I am the exact demographic. So what would I like? What do I need? Where are the gaps for me? What's been really helpful for me? And I guess whenever I've been a little bit unstuck or a little bit unsure, it's almost given me permission to trust my instincts in setting up the business and looking to the strategic planning, I guess.
Oh, they're fighting words.
They need to be, don't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm thinking you're a businesswoman with a business plan somewhere on the wall.
Yes. That the wall chart is in a box at the moment, given I've just moved. But yes, I do certainly have a business plan. I think it's imperative nowadays. It really is.
Yeah, mine's a poster over on the wall. And I was looking at it this morning and my business plan is divided into 12 projects.
And that surprises me.
Now. And one's got a tick and I was thinking, oh, I could probably put a tick on a couple more. Whilst they may not be enormous completed ticks, but just ticks, gosh, that got started.
Yeah.
Get finished by somebody. It's really interesting having it visual and having it.
Yeah. And as an OT that works predominantly in neurology and in rehab, it's amazing the parallels that I draw every single day between the therapeutic intervention that I have with clients and how business is run. I was thinking about the importance of, you know, most people have a visual memory that is a lot more stronger than their other types of memory. And so it's really important to have a lot of visual progress. It's really important to have structure, to give yourself time limits and breaks and goal setting, all the things that you would, all the strategies that you would put in place with your clients. I think health professionals can sometimes be a bit crap at doing that for themselves.
Quite remarkable that we are so trained in goal setting, program design, implementation, review, next steps. And we've got that skill set on board. It just seems as though it's in a different language. And for some reason, that makes it inaccessible. But that is pretty much business management 101.
Yeah, that's right. I kind of had never put those parallels in place before. I'd never really had to. But yeah, and given that I am a business baby, I'm still surprised by that, I guess. Yeah, so I'm quite often drawing those parallels, and the strategies that I implement with my patients, I tend to remind myself to implement for me.
With various people I meet all over the place, there's still this sort of thinking about professional development and that needs to be clinically based. And where, we do have obligations to APRA and SPA about those clinical hours. Oh, my gosh, that has to stay there. But I'm really looking forward to the day when business owners are thinking about personal development and business development.
Yeah.
So professional, personal and business development. Because you could be the best clinician in the world and still struggle big time in terms of having a really successful lifestyle business that serves you the hours and the income that you want.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And I've certainly been looking to expand those sides of my business as well. So I've got a couple of psychologists that are writing some content for me around a lot of self-care and, the work-life balance and that struggle that we all face, but also the mental health and the well-being side of business. And I think that's quite often overlooked and so sadly, because that's, so real for a lot of business owners.
Yeah. Where do you go to get your business smarts? You've got your coach, but where else do you kind of tentacle out to?
I guess friends. I've certainly got quite a few friends in private practice, but I also have lucky enough to have some really good friends that are great entrepreneurs and really successful entrepreneurs. But I guess I'm more of a thinker, so I just think all this stuff just ruminates constantly in my mind, and I just have to download. I'm constantly, I almost need butcher's paper, to just get some ideas out. I've got lots of ideas running around. So I guess, speaking to contacts like yourself and just talking, shooting the breeze and talking about different ideas and the possibilities, I find really exciting.
Really exciting news for you on that front. You can actually get paint that provides like a whiteboard surface on your walls that you can use markers on, dry erase markers, and they just wipe off. So I've been in a conference room where we literally wrote on the walls.
My husband would have kittens. We have literally just painted this place.
Oh, well.
One day my kids and I would love it. So maybe that's worth it.
Find one wall. I don't have one wall that I can put it on because I've got stuff everywhere. But, it sounds like off to Officeworks. And my whiteboard gets such a workout. And I actually build time into my week, definitely week, often most days, where I take photos of what was on the whiteboard and I clear it and I just go again.
Yeah, I do exactly the same thing. I absolutely do exactly the same thing. And I think it comes back to, that real visual memory strength and needing to get what's running around in your head out in order for clarity and, refresh and goal setting. And I do that with patients all the time.
There you go. Back to that same clinical best practice.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Gosh, I also lug around lots of scrapbooks, those big sized kind of drawing books, and I have coloured pens and been known to sit in cafes like a crazy cat lady. Oh, nothing wrong with cat ladies, but and draw and mind map and just dump.
Yeah.
because that just frees space up on my hard drive for whatever I'm going to think of next.
That's exactly right. It does sound like you're very visual dominant.
Just slightly.
Well, you really should be using lots of different colours because that will really enhance your memory strategies.
Well, here I am fiddling with my four-colour pen. If we're sitting here this time next year, what's the business, what's Allied Health Support Services going to look like? What's your best guess?
Well, I am, as a control freak, I have some very clear ideas about what I would like it to look like. But also what I am learning is that sometimes the most beautiful things happen when you're not expecting it and when you just say yes to opportunities. So I am trying really hard through this process to be a lot more open to the possibilities of what might happen and depending on who I meet or, you know, what opportunities arise. Having said that, later in the year, I've got a two-part virtual conference coming up for private practitioners. I'm thinking early September. So I'll have the likes of business coaches and marketers and HR and accountants and researchers and myself speaking a lot around clinical governance, but all specialising in the areas of allied health for private practitioners. So I guess look out for those details. But I'm focusing a lot this year on traffic and just increasing my brand awareness and meeting new people and seeing what's out there, seeing what opportunities come up.
Yeah. This virtual conference thing is really interesting and totally bizarre that you've mentioned it. I've participated one in the last few days. In fact, I think there's even today going on. I just haven't checked in. And I've spoken to several people in the last couple of weeks about it and have got some similar plans as well. But what I want to do is kind of do a little bit more research. Because I'm visual, I don't know how I'm going to go with a virtual conference.
Yeah.
And I'm really curious about whether allied health professionals would love it more or less or differently to being in the room together.
Yeah. For me, and certainly the colleagues that I've spoken to, I think it's about being snappy and, you know, the difference really from a virtual conference to a face-to-face conference is quite different. I think the goals are quite different. The conference that I'm looking at is much more of a networking, a briefer kind of conference. So it will be over a two-hour period, I'm thinking. There'll be two parts, two two-hour conferences. And the first one is looking at more of the 0 to 5 years type in private practice. So a lot of the setup, a lot of the where are your gaps, what are you missing? And then the second part looking at 5 years plus and refreshing and looking again at those strategy things and reviewing a lot of the policies and procedures that you might have put in place. But I guess the difference is in a virtual conference, I think it's all about the accessibility and it's recorded and it's something that you could come in and out of and it's something that, you know, particularly with whatever software you're using, you can use websites, you can certainly bring up whiteboards and what have you, visual support as well. Whereas I think in face-to-face it's a bit more focus on the meeting people and the being amongst it. I'm still hoping that within a virtual conference that you'll get a lot of that same feeling of being immersed in it whilst, you know, networking. But I guess the goals are slightly different.
It's really interesting to think about how we will all be learning in the next decade, isn't it? Or even in the next 5 years.
Yeah, and I think, look, I really, really hope, I mean, given I've set up a virtual service, I still really hope that a lot of the face-to-face conferences and PD opportunities are still out there. I'm not looking to replace those, but I think there's never enough of those and, you know, everybody is increasingly busy.
But there's no alternative to them.
That's right. That's exactly right. So I think really there's no other way than for us to supplement wherever possible. And, you know, that's one thing we certainly have in common as allied health professionals. Everybody has that thirst for learning and that desperate want to excel in our client care and continually professionally develop. So I think across the allied health professions, we have a lot of similarities.
Absolutely. That sounds like a busy few months for you.
Yeah. That's the tip of the iceberg, Kathy.
Just the tip. Global domination thereafter.
That's it. No, I don't have time for that.
So one of the questions I ask some of my guests is the $50,000 question.
Mm.
And, this is the scenario where you check in the bank one day and there's this mystery rainbow unicorn, cheeky little 50 grand sitting there, and you go to the bank and they say, oh my goodness, it was a gift from a benefactor and it's all yours.
Shop. you mentioned I was a stylist. No. It's a business grant, right?
Yeah, it's a business grant. So what would you do with it?
I would start paying my business coach for a start. She's worth more money. To be honest, I would hire a virtual assistant.
Mm.
Hands down. And I would focus, obviously, more on the things that I need to be doing. So making a lot more connections and collaborations and, you know, sales and marketing and all that kind of stuff. Mm. I would probably actually look to bring on an allied health professional as well on staff for the particular purpose of writing some very specific content for me, I think. Well, the possibilities are endless, aren't they?
What else? You're going to have some money left over. What else?
I'd make a couple of changes to the website. So when I was designing the website, I had phase one, two, and three, and phase three I'm looking to soon. So that would certainly help fund that.
Okay, good. Oh, well, may the business fairy be looking in your account.
Yes, how amazing would that be? I've never won anything in my life.
No. No, I'm not, yeah. Oh, well. All of my guests have the chance to ask me a question.
Hmm.
Is that something you want to do?
Yeah, I'm always asking you questions. You're a wealth of knowledge. I was wondering the other day, with all of your energy into the business world and business coaching and supporting other private practitioners, how do you keep current clinically? Because you still do some clinical work, don't you?
I do a little. How do I keep current? I read a lot.
Yeah.
I read a lot. And I probably overly rely on Dr. Google. But one of my motivators for Dr. Google is that I know that other clinicians are reading it and parents are reading it and school teachers are reading it. And so I feel it's important that I know what everybody else is reading and that I have an opinion on what's out there in the free-to-air department.
Yeah.
The clinical work that I do a little bit of work with very young children with quite complex developmental needs, and I'm very much part of a team approach. So I guess a lot of my clinical growth will come from those interactions with other professionals and the what ifs and the is this the best next step for this child or what have you. And that clinical reasoning that you have from bouncing around a team, I think, is absolutely invaluable.
Yeah.
I still buy clinical supervision from time to time, and it's not always from OTs. I buy clinical supervision from speech pathologists and from psychologists.
Right.
Occasionally, dev ed psychologists. Occasionally, I have an informal clinical swap arrangement with some special educators and people like that, because, you know, I'm sort of believe that there's so much learning and innovation that comes from outside your discipline or your industry, and I kind of like a bit of that.
Yeah, that's certainly what I'm wanting for my business, because I think, interestingly, I think maybe pediatric clinicians are a little bit better at that, but certainly outside of OT, they're not particularly good at gaining some of that supervision or mentoring or support from outside of their professions. And certainly in adult intervention, I haven't noticed it to be as rife either. So good on you for accessing different supervision avenues.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it takes a village to raise a clinician. And when I had my business, we...
To continue too. Yeah. It's not just raising.
I would get a paediatrician to come in and talk about sleep, or we'd get a psychologist to come in and talk about the whisk or about self-regulation or executive function from their point of view. And speech pathologists would speak to us about language literacy, socialness and things like that. I think it's really important to know where your edges are and where your edges overlap. And I love exploring that bit.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. I think less experienced clinicians really struggle with that mindset as well. So perhaps it's a bit more of an issue in the universities, in the schools. I don't know.
Could be. Could be. I think there's also a tendency to be just everyone's so incredibly busy in their private lives and in their business lives, and it's going to be interesting to watch this next phase of private practice and this next phase of self-employment as the NDIS really does bed down in the next 5 years, because we're yet to see a big metropolitan rollout. And we're yet, you know that curve with the big sort of line going up to the right. And we haven't yet. We're just starting to see the start of workforce issues.
Where's it up to in Victoria?
In Victoria, we've got rollout in Geelong. They were a trial site. They were a children's trial site. And we have got rollout in some of the peripheral northwest areas of Metro Melbourne. So it's coming into the urban edges across the...
Creeping in.
And so this time next year, it will be very, very different. The doors will be opening in some of the metro areas.
Yeah.
Or even later this year. Yeah.
Is there still quite a bit of fear around NDIS rollout down there? I know there is up here, but we're a bit behind the eight ball in Queensland.
Well, you're catching up really quickly. Fear is a reasonable word for it. It's a bit of uncertainty about the future. It's uncertainty about the agreements you need in place and the policies and procedures you need in place. And it's a really new way of doing business.
And
we're kind of creatures of habit, as I see it, and we're used to doing our work a certain way and billing a certain way. And what the NDIS is shifting us towards is a more business-orientated marketplace. Yeah. And I guess some people have got are more ready for that than others.
I think in general, I do think it will be a good move for our country. I'm always astounded at the differences in healthcare across the states.
Yeah, state by state, it's incredibly different. Yeah. The education systems are different. And so this could kind of equalise some of that, but it may not equalise it as much as you and I would like, because I get the sense that there's quite a bit of variety between the NDIS areas already.
Right,
And so the consistency may need to be kind of worked on if, in fact, that's what they want to do. Great and see.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Yeah. All righty. Well, sounds as like it's all system go up there.
It is.
Got stuff coming up. We'll look for all of that on social media. Is there anything, if you were to have the last word, what would you like to share with listeners?
To come and check out the website.
What's the website?
So it's www.alliedhealthsupport.com.au. And obviously we're all over social media and we have lots of exciting stuff coming up.
Good. And we'll put a link to it in the show notes to make it easy for listeners to click on through. Well, well done you for surviving an illness and moving house all this week. Oh, you moved house a couple of weeks ago. So well done. Thank you for all that. Thanks for coming on and sharing up all the good stuff.
Thank you for having me.
Let's sign off. Thank you so much, Serena.
I didn't hear it. That's any consolation.
Oh, I did. That's why I was, Anyway, I'm sure it'll all be good. We have a very magical editor who will whip this all into shape so that people can enjoy your business story and find out more about what you do. All righty. Thanks for joining us.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
A big thank you for investing your time right through the end of this episode of Private Practice Secrets. We hope you really enjoyed the conversation. There's lots more just like it waiting for your listening ears. If you're running a private practice and keen for some more business know-how and confidence, head on over to my website, nakerconsulting.com.au. There you'll find business resources and inspiration. There's blogs, forms, templates. There's information about our conferences, workshops, web events, and more. While you're there, you're warmly invited to book yourself in for a free 30-minute coaching session. Let's find some solutions to your current business challenges. And yes, you are more than welcome to pick my brains. My business has a weird name, but it has a cool story. You can read about that when you're on the website. But let me spell it for you now. nacre.com.au. Thank you for listening to Private Practice Secrets. I'm Kathy Love, Allied Health Business Coach, wishing you and your business a brilliant day.